The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Brethren, in both the Old Testament Hebrew and in the New Testament Greek, the main concept used for the word desire has the meaning or the sense of longing for. I have entitled this particular message as Desiring After God. This word desire that we're going to focus on in all of its different variations in the King James Version, I didn't take a tally of those in other versions, but in the King James Version, it totals over 500 times. The word desire covers a wide range of human wants, emotions, and cravings. It can describe natural desires, including such things as hunger for food, sexual desires, as well as having a desire for God. It can also describe unnatural desires such as greed and lust. So it's a huge word. It's a big word that we find in both Old and New Testament. Notice with me how Jesus used this word desire in his last Passover with his disciples. Go with me to Luke 22 and verse 15. Luke 22 and verse 15. And he, Jesus, said unto them, "With desire I have desired." It's both a noun and a verb. "I long for, with great longing," if you want to substitute the word long there, it could be other words as well, "to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Notice with me also how Paul states that the true disciples, true believers, are going to eagerly desire for the greater gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. I'm going to read this in the NIV. "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts." Then in 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul describes how he longed to see his brothers and sisters there in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 17. And this one I'm going to read, I'm just using various translations is all I'm doing here, from the New Revised Standard Version. 1 Thessalonians 2, 17. "As for us, brothers and sisters, when for a short time we were made orphans by being separated from you in person, not in heart, we longed," that's that same word, it could be desired, "longed with great eagerness to see you face to face." We also can notice how Paul said that his greatest desire was the desire to depart and to be with Christ. That's in Philippians 1 and verse 23, Philippians 1 verse 23, New American Standard Version. "But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to part and be with Christ, for that is very much better." So we can see this is a big concept, this desire, this word desire, and that concept. In the Old Testament Hebrew, there are over 200 different words that are translated as desire, or all of its different concepts and different spinoffs and variations that are going to mean things such as to yearn for or to long after. Like I said, this was the real concept that we see of this word in both Old and New Testament. One of the Hebrew words has a basic meaning of feeling great favor toward something. And that word is translated as delight or pleasure or desire. Another word in the Old Testament means earnest seeking for something or someone. And that word, that particular word, is translated as to seek, to inquire, or desire. Notice David's use of the word in Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. With this, therefore, with what we've just seen just this little bit, let me ask each one of us, and let's think about this. Do we desire God the way God wants us to desire Him? I mean, think about it this way. What does desiring after God feel like? Or maybe you'd rather have the word, the question, what does it look like to truly long after God? And the thing is, brethren, we can learn how to feel desire after God by comparing it to the way a person might become desperate for such things as fresh air or other necessary factors that we need to sustain our life. We could also liken it to this intense longing for God to a thirsty deer, panting for the relief and the refreshment of water. You know where I'm going. You know this verse. Psalm 42, verse 1. Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the hart or the deer pants over the water brook, so or therefore pant my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you? Now that's desiring after God. So with this in mind, let me ask, so what are some characteristics of a person who desires or longs for or seeks after God, who pants for God, who thirsts for God? What might that person look like? So let's see some. Not going to be able to go into all of the various points and concepts that we can actually find in the Bible, but we're going to look at some of those characteristics that a person who desires after God in their day-to-day life, what that type of person might look like. And I have it as points or bullets. And pretty much all of them want to start off with that person, so you know when I'm going to another one. That person who is truly desiring after God will look focused, will look attentive, will look determined. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. The New International Version. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, the New American Standard Bible. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. The Hebrew word that is translated in these verses as commit is an interesting Hebrew word. And the word means roll, R-O-L-L, roll or roll away. Now, whenever you really take a look at these verses that we're talking about here, commit to the Lord whatever you do and He will establish your plans. or commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do it. In both of those places, and as well in other verses as well in the Old Testament where commit is used, the word could literally, I mean, these verses could literally be translated as roll your way upon the Lord. In other words, what we're seeing here is that we are to be focused, that we are to be attentive, that we are to be determined that we are going to go after God, that we are going to desire after God. That's the concept. That's that feeling. The next one, that person will watch closely for God. That person will listen carefully to what He says. Psalm 85 and verse 8. Psalm 85 and verse 8. I will hear, or I will listen what the Lord will speak, what God the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn away again to folly. Again, this is showing an attitude of desiring after God. That person will eagerly be anticipating doing what God directs. That person will seek and search for God diligently in the study of the Holy Scriptures. I'll show you a couple of places. Acts 17, verse 11. Acts 17, verse 11. This is from the New American Standard Bible. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. He's talking about the Bereans. For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. That's a desiring after God. Also in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this person is going to seek, is going to search God diligently in their daily Bible study. The next one, that person will see God wholeheartedly in fervent prayer. Matthew 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. And no, this verse didn't necessarily mention prayer, but isn't that one of the best ways that we can, but seek you first the kingdom of God, is taking it to God, requesting of God, fervently praying to God, desiring after God. The Greek word that is used here for seek means seek, to search for, desire, require, demand. And that is showing the concept is, the sense is, to seek by inquiring, to seek by investigating, to reach a binding, complete, terminal resolution, to search. The sense of it is getting to the bottom of a matter. Getting to the bottom of a matter. Isn't that what we do for Bible study? Isn't that what we do in it? And isn't that part of our desire after God? I think so. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Malachi 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. There's talking about seek, delight, both of these things. The messenger is coming, and we need to be paying attention. We need to be seeking. We need to be searching. I want us to read some other verses about seeking after God, this concept that we see here. Proverbs 8 and verse 17. Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me. This is God speaking. And those that seek me early shall find me. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, beginning in verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will listen to what you're saying. This is what God is telling us. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, says the Lord. I have one more into this particular thing we're looking at, verses about seeking God. 1 Chronicles 16, 1 Chronicles 16, verses 11 and 12. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Another translation says, at all times. That's pretty fulfilling, isn't it? Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. The next point, that person will want God to be pleased. It's an attitude of having, Father, are you happy? Are you happy with me? It's having that type of an attitude. And focusing and desiring to be with God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9. Therefore, we will make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to God or to Him. We're going to make it our focus. We're going to make it our aim that we're going to be, whether we're present or whether we're absent, we're going to be well-pleasing to God. And then another point, and that person will want God to know that he loves God. Matthew 22, 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And this concept of what we're looking at desiring after God, I think we need to ask, is that our attitude and approach toward God? Therefore, one other point here about seeking or desiring after God. That person will do what God says. Not because it is a burden or not because it's a duty, but because it is a joy to do so. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Does that make us joyful? I hope so. I hope so. Go with me to Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brother, I think that we need to realize there is a difference in our knowing about God versus knowing God. Go with me, if you would, please, to the book of Isaiah 12 and verse 6. Isaiah 12 and verse 6, New American Standard Bible. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, which of course we know is symbolic of the church of God, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Millions of people have sought knowledge about God. However, there have been only a relatively small number who have actually sought for God and know Him. And by that, what I am meaning is those who have pursued Him to really know the true God in a close, intimate, personal relationship. This thing about many people have sought knowledge about God or about the Bible, let me just give you a real simple illustration of what I'm talking about. In the King James Version of the Bible, didn't do it in others, there are 1,189 chapters, old and new together. I counted them. No, I didn't. And there are 31,102 verses. Now, is that going to add to your salvation to know that? No. 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 But it's information, it's knowledge about God, it's about the Word of God and all of it. And it's interesting concept to be able to do this and to look these kinds of things up. It doesn't add to our salvation. Knowledge about God and knowledge about knowing God are different things. And that is what I'm trying to get across. And millions of people know all of these facts and all of these figures and have memorized hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different verses. Yet they don't know God because they don't live God's way of life. In general, knowledge puffs up. The Bible says so. It's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity or love edifies. It builds it up. The knowledge isn't of and by itself the thing. Brethren, please understand, even knowledge about God can puff up. In too many instances, in too many situations, too many people's knowledge about God has turned to self-righteousness. And as a result, their arrogance has pushed them away from God. What we need to know is that the relationship God seeks to have with us is not based primarily or mainly or principally on how much knowledge we have about Him. No. Principally or mainly or primarily, it is based upon how much knowledge is how much we know Him and how much we love Him and how much we desire to be with Him. And we're putting forth the effort needed for that to be true, that we really do this. It is about wanting to be close to Him. Because you see, brethren, knowledge about God must never be a substitute for our awe and respect for who and what is God. Desiring knowledge about God must never eclipse or never overshadow our yearning or even overshadow a burning desire to be with Him, to know Him, and to be known of Him. Please go with me to James chapter 4 and verse 8. James 4 verse 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here's the point. If we desire to be near to God, we can know, we should know, that He desires to be near to us. It is this desire for God's presence that motivates us to move in His direction. And it is with the navigation that God provides through His Holy Spirit, God can be found. He desires it. Do we desire it? Do we put forth this effort to show God that we desire it, to be in His presence? He desires it. Do you think He's going to go, well, I don't want Him in my presence? I don't think that's what He's going to do. And we have to understand, He's the one initiates it to start with. John 6:44, no one can come to me, Jesus is speaking, unless the Father draws him. So it initiated, all of this desire is initiated from God. But we have to answer it. We have to move forward in the direction that He's wanting us to go. And the thing is, brethren, Jesus Christ has already cleared the path. In fact, in many different aspects, this desiring after God, this to be close to God, is in many aspects, in many ways, the heart of the good news of the New Testament, isn't it? I mean, the fact is, Jesus came into the world to make a way for us to come to God without being consumed in our sins by His holiness. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Just going to read the A part of the verse. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to Christ. Ephesians 2:18. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. God initiated it. Jesus Christ is the pathfinder, and we follow His path. Brethren, I'd like you to think about it this way. God has done some mighty, astonishing, and costly things to draw us close to Him. I mean, just think about it. He sent His Son to suffer and to die so that through Him we might be near to God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It is all so that we would desire to come close to God. I mean, I know that's putting it, bringing it all down in very simplified words. But I think this concept of desiring after God is the summation of all that God has done. I mean, we can summarize it in all kinds of ways. I'm doing it today through this one. And the thing is, both the Father and the Son wants us to desire after God for our joy and for their glory. I mean, think about it in that way. What I mean is, we need to realize God does not need us. What I'm saying is, if we did not desire after God, God is not diminished or lessened in any way. Yet, God wants, God desires us to be in His presence, to be in His family. So He's done all of this for this. Psalm 16 in verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In Your presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Brother, we need to understand that is His desire. His will for our lives, that we will draw near to Him. Now, there's a lot of other things that go with that, but we've got to have this desire to be with God, to be in His presence, for all these other things to even take place. Notice with me this, I am fascinated by this amazing promise that we read, that we don't really focus on in this way, back in James chapter 4. Go with me to James chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. James 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. So he's setting this up. He's telling us what our attitude, what our approach needs to be toward God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he, the devil, will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he, God, will draw near to you. What a promise. What an awesome promise. Continue on. Cleanse your hands, your sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That takes being close to God. That takes drawing close to God, and he will draw close to us. That's what his desire is. We desire after God in a humble attitude and approach. He will draw near to us. That's a promise. Wow. So we ask. So where is God? And here I am meaning we all need to ask ourselves, is God truly in our life? Now, I mean, I know that I'm, in one sense, I'm speaking to the choir. I understand that. But I want you to hear this whole concept of what we're looking at here, this whole thing. So let me ask this way. Because whether it applies to you, it might have. It might not now. But it might at some other point. Or might have in the past. I don't know, but we need to ask. I want to say, have any of us ever gone to church and yet felt like we miss God? I don't mean because of what was going on there, what was said. I'm talking about because of where we were in our minds and our hearts. Did he somehow pass us by? And have any of us ever played church and heard about God so long that we have lost sight of God? I go, oh, that'll never happen. Wrong answer. It could happen to any of us if we get so lackadaisical. This has to be a burning desire to be in the presence of God, not sometime, not just on the Sabbath, not on the holy days or just the holy days, but at all times, at all times, at all times. And brother, I want us to understand it may, you know, go, no, I'm not that way and I've not done that. And then that's great. But I want us to understand these are all very important questions for each and every one of us to ask ourselves and to ponder on each one of them. See, here's the thing. Mankind can study and learn where God has been historically. Yet at the same time, brethren, we need to understand what we need is a revelation to where God is now. And I mean especially where God is in our lives. Or make it personal, where God is in my life today. So let me ask you this way. Do you think God will be found of those who do not seek him? Or those who do not passionately desire him? I think I have my answers. We know this, but I want to state the obvious. There are untold treasures, pleasures, benefits, and rewards in God's presence. And to have them, we must seek his face, not the goodies. So please realize, God wants to be loved, and God wants to be worshiped, and He wants to be loved, and He wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not a lackadaisical attitude, not a part-time attitude. This is to have a burning desire to please God, to listen to what He says, to be desiring after God. Also, I want us to please realize that God can easily determine humans who just want the goodies without wanting His presence. Something just came to my mind. I didn't have in my notes, and I was debating whether to publicly state it. I have had people, okay, I'll go ahead. I've had people in the church and said, well, I come to church because of what God's going to do for me. Now, I'd rather them be here with that and listening, because it may click at some point. That's not the purpose. But I've actually had people tell me that. So I think that we need to ask, so what are some ways to be close with God? Are there steps to seeking and finding God? Well, yes. And the first step is to simply start by desiring God. And sometimes we must begin by desiring to desire God. And then when there might be some doubts about feelings or emotions, we need to go to God and ask Him to give us the right desire for Him. I don't know what to desire after you, but I want you. Show me what that is and show me how to do it. It could be that simple. Then, determine to give God time. And then, stop all of the excuses. And then, we start placing focus on God instead of the world. And we invest in time and reading and studying and praying about this relationship that we desire to have with Him, that we've already seen that He desires to have with us. And I have one other step here. Memorize and meditate on Galatians 2:20. This is a verse, much more important verse. I read it a lot, but I don't always focus on it with this in mind. I read the verse for what it is, but I want us to think about it. I would like for us to memorize and meditate on this verse and the concepts that are actually being stated here. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of Jesus Christ, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Because you see, brethren, here's the thing of that verse. Jesus is always in the Father's presence. And therefore, when Jesus is in us, we can be there too. Please know, brethren, please think about this. The amount of time we invest in God is a good indication of how much we truly desire to be with Him. Access to God has been provided to us through Jesus Christ. God's awesome plan for us, not just the church, but yes, us, but also for all of mankind. God's awesome plan for us includes everything we will need to find Him and please Him. There is nothing left out. There is nothing left out. He is not going to make us do it. He just wants us to. And He shows us all the ways and all the benefits and all that He can do and what He's going to do and all His promises. But the doing it is us. Seek God and He will be found. Go with me to Matthew 5 and verse 6. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Millions have heard of God. However, very few have met the Father and the Son. And so we ask, are we, you and me, are we among those who are truly hungering for God? Desiring after God, and here I am focusing on seeking after God or drawing near to God, involves coming close. And that is, to see it this way, that is just like the way we want to be close to those that we love. It isn't He's off way over there and we love Him, but we never pay any attention to Him or do any of the things He wants. But yeah, I love God. Really? Tell that to your wife. Tell that to your husband. But you never show that you really do. Or you don't really have that desire, but you have the statement, yeah, I love my family. Really? I want us to understand this desiring after God, this focusing on seeking after God or drawing near to God involves coming close in exactly the same way that we want to be close to our families, those that we loved. And I also want us to understand, Jesus taught this concept of desiring after God, that is coming near or close to Him. And He states it, that is, it is to be our highest priority. In fact, in the concept of this particular message, we need to realize and we need to conclude this closeness to God is the one thing that we are to secure and the one thing that we are to fasten everything else upon. You know the verse. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. All of what things? Yes, in the context he was talking about all these things that all the heathen go after. What do the heathen want? They want love. They want their family to love them. They want to love their family. They want all these things that we want. Yes, you can bring it down to that level. But seek you first, not sometimes, but think about it. It might be a good idea. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what he says. Notice with me Isaiah's words over in the book of Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, we're going to read verses 6 and 7, and I'm going to read it out of the NIV. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Okay, now how does He get near? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It starts with the seeking. It starts with our desire to do that. It starts with the desire, I want to, and then we start in the seeking, the searching, the following through and seeing what he wants. How does he want it? And doing all of those things, all of that. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man forsake his thoughts. Doesn't say it, but that's implied. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy, and the Lord will have mercy upon the wicked man and to our God, for he will freely pardon. If we see this and we hear this and we go, yeah, I'm not doing this to the degree that I could or I need to be or even should be, tell God you're sorry. Draw near and he will draw near. That's what it's saying, and he will freely pardon. He forgives. Start. That's his point. That is what he's saying here. Whew. So I want us to conclude this message by going back once again to where we read in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah tells us about desiring after God. So let's go back to Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, says the Lord. Desiring after God. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are so blessed. We seek, and we can find him. He said so. We claim it. I claim it for each one of us. We do it. Desiring God. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.